a commitment and it requires a bit of study of the area. See in the close. Now, this is a warning to you. You have to get this next point completely. If you can't or don't close the deal, then you lose. Take the C out of the word close and you end up with lose. The truth is your family loses, your company loses, and if you believe completely in what you represent, then your customer or your prospect loses. I believe this with my heart today, and because I do, I will persist in a deal a great deal longer than the average person. He who can stay the longest will achieve the mostest. He who can stay the longest will achieve the mostest. That's a grandism. I personally have such a belief in what I represent, whatever it is I'm representing, that I believe to my core that everyone loses when I don't close that deal. This belief, combined with an arsenal of technology, and this is critical, because you can believe in your product, but if you don't have the arsenal, you're done. This belief, combined with an arsenal of technology, is the fuel necessary so that you're able to persist until you actually get the close. There is only a slight difference between closing and losing, one letter to be exact, and that is more often than not the little bit it would take to close most of your deals. The C in close could stand for commitment. Commitment is defined as the state or instance of being emotionally compelled. This is the great shortage of our day. People who are committed and emotionally impelled to do whatever it takes to get something done. There's no shortage of money. The shortage, the great shortage, is people who are deeply committed and emotionally impelled to do whatever it takes in order to get something done. It could stand, the C, could stand for consistent, as consistency is absolutely necessary for you to achieve higher closing ratios. Consistent is defined as free from a variation or a contradiction. Consistency is critical so as to provide you with a consistent set of choices and handlings to work with so that you're able to bring more harmony and a sense of stability and logic to your negotiations. So the C could stand for commitment. The C could stand for consistency. Hey, the C could stand for a can-do attitude. That attitude that's absolutely vital to making things go right. Can do is defined as characterized by an eager willingness to accept and meet challenges. Can do. Eager willingness to accept and meet challenges. If you don't bring this to the table, no one will ever support you in the closing arena. No matter how good your price, no matter your product, and no matter your proposal. Your negotiations will be filled with resistance, will be filled with their emotions. It will be filled with blame and bitterness. So you need to know that when you're negotiating with people, they're going to get, you know, resistant. They're going to get emotional. They're going to start blaming. They're going to start stalling. People will become bitter. They'll become critical. You have to know this. You have to bring a can-do attitude to counter that to the table every time. The bottom line is, if you miss any of the C's, you will not close the deal, and you will only be left with lose. So the C's are what? Commitment. Deep, deep commitment. Consistency. Able to use consistently this arsenal of techniques. And the third C is a can-do attitude. Harsh reality. The harsh reality is you are either closing or you are losing. There is no middle ground. There is no cost to the presenter greater than the loss of the deal. You need to know this. Like when you don't close, you lose. The presenter loses. There is no greater loss of the deal. None. It depletes your individual belief and confidence in yourself and in your product and idea when you lose the deal. When the salesperson or presenter or the proposal or the mediator is unable to close, he or she becomes visibly demoralized and over time starts to give up their quests with their attention stuck on accumulated losses rather than the confidence and competence that comes from winning. Losing the deal, any deal, has devastating results as it fuels uncertainty, insecurity, doubt, fear, loss of hope, and ultimately results in more lost sales. That is so important. Losing the deal has devastating results as it fuels uncertainty, insecurity, doubt, fear, loss of hope, and ultimately results in more lost sales. These losses become very expensive emotionally and financially to yourself and your company and should not just be taken so lightly or considered something that must happen as a result of being involved in a deal. People become too casual, too reasonable about this and incorrectly convince themselves that, oh, that's just the way it is. Look, there's no beneficiary to when you do not close a deal except maybe your competition. Certainly the prospect in no way benefits when you don't close them, as they are left to continue their efforts to acquire some product or service or solve some problem that they were hoping you could solve for them. Remember, no one wins when you don't close. No one. Don't be reasonable in this one fact, as it is vitally important to your future that you understand everyone ultimately loses when you fail to close them on your proposal. Get this point drilled in to your way of thinking, and you will make things happen like never before. Also, it is vital that you understand that selling involves more than just getting the buyer to like you or like your product or like your company. If that's all it took, 90% of all salespeople would be rich, but they're not. Successful, consistent, and dependable sales results require more than just getting people to like you and your product, regardless of your likability. I know a lot of people that are likable. If you are unable to close the deal, you will not get paid the rewards that are available to you, nor will your client or prospect get the rewards of your products, your services, or the benefits of your dreams. Imagine if Steve Jobs wasn't able to close the world on Apple or iPods. Imagine if Bill Gates wasn't able to close the world on Microsoft technology software. Imagine if Martin Luther King didn't sell the world on freedom. See, closing is the one step in selling that separates those who have from those who don't have. It also separates those that love their jobs from those who don't love their jobs. It is the dividing of camps between those who dream from those who make dreams come true. This is not an overstatement. For all dreams require action, and the most important action is the one that finalizes the transaction. It's not the initial dream itself. It's, can I close others on believing in my dream, supporting my dream, funding, financing, and getting behind my dream? No dream can become a reality without someone closing others on making that dream come true to fruition. Dreams don't require dreamers. Dreams require closers. The dream closer will do whatever is necessary to close others on what he or she needs in order to make that dream a reality. The make-break point. The number one most feared part of the selling process by survey is that part involving the negotiations and the close. The close is that place in every deal where it becomes the time to ask someone to take some sort of action. Most of the time, this action requires a transfer of something valuable or what appears to be a value or some commitment of some sort from the other party. This could be giving money for a product or signing a future contract to pay something or dedicate time or energy or resources. See, the close does not always involve money, but it will always involve something of value to the parties involved. This make-break point is where people shake and quiver, where tongues get tied, palms sweat, people can't think clearly, and they no longer know what to say next. They act like a deer caught in the headlights and the hearts start to race. Due to these wild reactions, the presenter starts to doubt himself or herself and the mission. These negative responses that they are experiencing are only symptoms of not having a full understanding of how to close, how to negotiate, and how to get an agreement. It is vital that you learn to handle this area to the point where you no longer have physical reactions. So until you no longer have physical reactions, you need to train, prepare, drill, and rehearse. Reasons for the no close. Now, why would this step of the sale by itself, the one which most determines your income, be the one step that is most feared, most revered, and most uncomfortable and most misunderstood for most people? How is it you can enjoy meeting people, enjoy demonstrating your product, and talking about your company and then suddenly, unexplainably, abhor closing the proposal. What is happening when a completely confident person who knows his product to be superior will not even ask the client to actually buy the product? Or he may only ask if he gets no resistance. What's happening? There are many reasons that can contribute to this, and I will discuss a few. First, I believe that most salespeople and negotiators and business people are misinformed when they are brought into the business of selling. They're misinformed with information that is not quite accurate about what it really takes to be successful as a salesperson. Salespeople have been told many things over the years about selling. Some true, some not true, and some is just plain outdated. You know, everything in life changes. One would not expect the same techniques used 30 years ago to have the same effectiveness today. You were probably told, like I was, that selling is simple. You may have been told that selling is about getting people to like you. Maybe it was pounded into you that selling is about selling the product, identifying the buyer's hot buttons, then satisfying those needs. You might have also been told that selling is purely about relationships and building trust. Maybe you've been given information from others that would actually suggest that you not even go for the close. Maybe it was suggested to you not to be pushy or offensive, or that people that close have to use pressure and that no one likes pressure. While some of the above may be true, it doesn't quite paint the picture of what it takes to really be successful as a closing salesperson. And some of it is just completely out of context. When I talk about successfully selling, I'm not talking about just getting the job done. I'm talking about prospering. I'm not talking about getting by. I'm talking about expanding and filling my pockets up successful. This is where closing the deal is the norm, not the exception. See, you want to think in terms of, hey, I closed the deal. It's normal to close the deal. Not, I closed the deal. You know, you're going to close 1 out of 10. No, you know, not closing should be the exception. Closing should be the norm. There are many kinds of riches. Money is one of them. In this book, we're talking to you about not just selling, not just enjoying sales, but being paid extremely well because you own the unique talent of closing the deal down. Deal over, finished, completed, transaction agreed upon. Parties agree and we do something. That's where we want to get you. Let's face it, salespeople, dreamers, and workers are a dime a dozen, and to that degree are not extremely valuable, no offense, but they're not extremely valuable because mediocrity is not valuable. There's no shortage of workers. There's a shortage of closers. There are hundreds of millions of salespeople on this planet who call selling their profession, and they have business cards to prove it. When we talk about successful closers, we're talking about a very small, very revered, respected club of truly professional, highly trained, and highly compensated individuals who have one thing in common: the ability to close the deal, to wrap the deal up, to tie all the pieces down, to get an agreement and action. Look, even a 6-year-old child understands the value of closing a deal versus the value of selling. When you go home late at night, tired, and kiss your kid goodnight, he looks up at you with those big eyes, particularly if you're in selling of any sort, and says, "Mommy, did you sell anything today?" What is this kid asking you? He's not asking if you made a friend, or you got someone thinking about a purchase, or if you got a commitment, or if you got somebody hot and bothered, or if you did a great presentation, or if you were likable. Your kid's asking you one question: did you close a deal? You either did or you did not. This program is going to get you in a position to tell your son, "Yes, I did." And yes, you get your bike. Relationship or close? A person once commented to me that he thought I put too much value on the close and not enough on the relationship. Look, without the trust, without the good feelings, without the relationship, without those things that make rapport, the close is impossible. However, the relationship by itself will not determine the close. Most deals only close when the salesperson closes the deal, not because someone likes you or likes your company, likes your ideas, or even likes your presentation. Certainly I want a good relationship, as you will almost never close when you don't have one. But if it was just about being nice and friendly, then no one would have a need for this skill called closing, as you would be merely required to present your product, get people to like you, and then they'd buy it. If it was just a relationship issue, your friends and family and loved ones would call you and give you money for no reason. Look, this is not the case. Relationships are critical. They're important. But you have to close even once you have the relationship. People do not separate with their money or take action or make future commitments and make decisions without some help from a closer. People are highly insecure about their money. This is a generalized statement, but most people are highly insecure about their money or their numbers in the bank, and their ability to make good decisions is also an area they're insecure about, and that is where you become valuable. The closer is valuable to handle these insecurities. If the trick or if the simplicity was just to be nice, most of the entire world filled with nice people would all be doing great. Reality is most of you put too much significance on being nice and not enough emphasis on closing the deal. Most salespeople spend too much time on nice and never actually transition over into the close and get that actionable exchange of value. The nicest thing you can do for someone is to make sure they make a decision and take action. That is nice, because once I take action on your product, I don't have to look anymore. You've actually done me a service. Do you even know where this word nice, this overused nice word, comes from? Well, its original derivation, you should look it up for yourself, in the Merriam-Webster Collegiate Dictionary, is French. Derivation means the root, where it first came from. It came from the word foolish, simple, silly, ignorant, and, interesting enough, not to know. Is that what you want to be, nice? When people tell you, you're the nicest guy we met, you're so nice, what they're saying is, look, you're foolish, you're simple, you're silly, you're ignorant, and you obviously don't know something. Leverage nice to a close. Don't just rest on the morals of niceness and not close. 10 more reasons closers fail. While there may be many, many reasons for failing to close, I am going to identify and discuss what I consider to be the top 10 reasons salespeople are not successful in closing their transactions. Number one, pressure is perceived as a bad thing. This closer or presenter or negotiator or mediator, whatever you call yourself, has been taught that pressure and insistence is wrong, ill-mannered, rude, not appropriate. Due to his or her upbringing regarding being nice, foolish, having manners, and other social graces that you were taught, the salesperson or presenter is unwilling to be insistent. While it is important to have manners and to be respectful to others, this is incorrect data for getting what you want in life. As manners and respectful and nice will not get you what you want in life. That doesn't mean you don't want to have manners and you don't want to be respectful and you don't want to be nice. As a child, you were told many times, you must learn to accept a no. Your parents told you this. Well, good for the parent, but not good for the kid, right? You must learn to accept a no. That's a kid that's persisting to get candy, and the parent's frustrated, tired, and says, look, here's the rule of the land. You must learn to accept a no. That is life. Until you believed that, you were doing fine, always getting your way. See, again, good for the parent, not good for the kid. The kid receiving this lesson, it's absolutely suicidal information for that child that later grows up and will need to sell others on his or her ideas. See, it's absolutely essential and vital to your survival that you push through this socialized, be nice, have manners, accept a no. You've got to push through the socialization of just getting along with the masses of people. You need to push through to get what you want in life. Pushing through doesn't mean not nice or ill-mannered, but rather it demonstrates that you are sold on your product, that you know what you want, and that you are willing to push through all the resistance to get it. In my book, Sell to Survive, I tell the story about the biggest sale of my entire life. That was winning over my future wife. Any of you out there that want the right mate, you should absolutely get that book. Absolutely learn how to close. You can sign up for every dating site you want to find the perfect mate. Look, if you can't close the perfect mate, that's all they were, was a mate. If you're looking for a long-term relationship, you have to close. You have to keep closing so that that relationship keeps evolving. See, had I not continued to persist in the close of my life, in closing this woman to be my wife, I would not have achieved this biggest sale of my life. Throughout the 13 months of working this transaction, this proposal, this deal, if you will, I know some of you are going to say, oh, man, he's calling his wife a deal. But you know what I'm saying. See, I was never ill-mannered in those 13 months. I wasn't inappropriate. I wasn't unprofessional. I didn't stalk her. But I did act like someone who was highly interested, who was highly confident in my quest to gain her interest, to go out with her, and to ultimately close the deal. Thanks to my insistence, my confidence, my dedication, and my willingness, and the good guy that I am to hang in there, I finally accomplished this deal. Being nice without persistence, even with some pressure, would not have done the job, I assure you. And if you talked to her, she would tell you the same thing. She wasn't looking for nice. She was looking for somebody confident enough to close. Number two, reason for not closing a deal. The unwillingness to deal with the emotional discomfort will prevent the close. Most people are not willing to deal with the emotional discomfort that takes place between the no and the yes, and actually seek to avoid this at all costs. This retreat and desire not to experience emotional output is a retreat from life itself. You have to be willing to handle the emotional output from others in the negotiations in order to even be with them and to accomplish anything in life. When it comes to the negotiations, agreements, decisions, and money in the close, people get emotional, and most of it is only emotional responses that have nothing to do with you or even your proposal. You have to be trained, drilled, and rehearsed to make nothing of this emotional output. You need to acknowledge your prospect and absolutely avoid getting emotional yourself. Look, acknowledge whatever reaction they're having or whatever they may be experiencing, but do not respond with more emotion. Like a baby who's crying, do you start crying too? No. Like a baby who's crying, your prospect is simply expressing some emotions that you may or may not understand. Instead of getting upset, remain calm and stay interested in the prospect. Don't run from the discomfort. Don't try to hide from it. Don't pretend it isn't happening. And absolutely do not react. Stay calm and remain focused on what you're there to do. Close the deal regardless of the emotions. You know, people get funny when it comes to making decisions, and especially when it comes to making money. Which do you think they have more insecurity about, money or decisions? Well, I'll tell you what it is. First, it's decisions, and two, it's money. Train yourself to handle people logically, not emotionally. Learn how to sit in one place comfortably while your client is going off hysterically, and you will become a master in negotiations. There's a course called Training Drills. It's referred to as a training regimen or drills that can teach you to sit comfortably and handle almost anything. It's called a TRs course, and you can call my office and they can give you more information on it. My number is 800-368-5771. It's called a TRs course, and it will put you in a position to sit comfortably and handle anything. I have personally taken this course, and it is absolutely amazing. There's only one group that teaches it, so call my office and they'll give you the information on it. The third reason for not closing a deal. A lack of belief in your purpose or in your product can prevent you from going all the way in the close. This third reason happens to be the salesperson or presenter's, now closer, he doesn't fully believe in the product, the idea, or the service, or the dream to the point that they will do anything to close this prospect. So you have to believe at a very deep level. You have to believe at a deeper level than they believe, like, hey, Grant, we don't have the money, we can't do it, it would put us in financial harm. If you believe that, you were sold and closed on that. If you believe your product is of greater benefit to the planet than this person's financial situation, you will close. You have to believe at an extremely, extremely deep level. You have to believe in something so much that you are willing to insist so passionately that you would actually make or cause someone to do something that they don't really want to do. See, this is what I'm talking about. And if you've been socialized to believe, don't persist, don't pressure, don't grind, don't hammer, be nice, know when to take no, then you lose the ability to commit all the way. People that are selling every day lose this over time. This passionate insistence to make sure the buyer says yes to whatever you have to offer. I write about this in detail in my book, Sell to Survive, where I demonstrate people giving up due to a lack of belief in their product or service and the company they represent. You have to be sold yourself. The most important sale you will ever make is the one to yourself. You have to be sold yourself, or your client will sell you on not closing. This passion and belief has to be continually rehabilitated from time to time in order to keep the insistence factor up in you. In every selling exchange, know that a sale takes place. He who is most convinced, most passionate, and most sold will do the most selling and the most convincing. If you are not sold, convinced, you cannot close to an actionable agreement. The most important sale, again, you will ever make is long before a client is ever involved. Close or be closed is what we say at our office. You either do the closing or you get close. The party that is the most sold will do the most closing. Number four, an incorrect estimation of effort will prevent the close. People do not have a correct estimation of the amount of effort necessary to actually achieve a result and a close. This happens to people in all types of careers: executives, entrepreneurs, CEOs, actors, athletes, managers, dreamers, human beings, anyone trying to accomplish a goal. They underestimate, have a correct estimation of the effort required. The inability to correctly assess how much energy and effort it takes to get something done is a huge outpoint of the seeker. The result is someone who is not prepared emotionally, not prepared physically, not prepared technically to generate the correct effort in order to get the mission accomplished. Look, if you think you're going to need to lift 3 pounds and then only train for 3 pounds, you will fail more often than not even to pick up only 3 pounds. Real life seems to always alter the lab test. You know what I'm saying? There's always little changes and variations. Maybe you don't feel good that day and you can't pick up the 3 pounds, but you only prepared for 3 pounds, so you can't quite get it. Let's say the day you show up, one of your arms goes into a spasm. Now you need to lift the 3 pounds, but you're trained with both arms, not one. Problem, if you had trained to handle 30 pounds, then no matter the challenges you face in the real world, you will be able to handle 3 pounds, an incorrect estimation of preparation in order to get the job done. You wouldn't go on a 30-mile trip with only a half a tank of gas, would you? You know, one day this will be an outdated audio program because you'll be able to go 30 miles on maybe a tenth of gas, or maybe we're not even using gas anymore. But incorrect estimation of effort is a major miscalculation in goal achievement. Have you allotted the time, the effort, the amount of insistence, the amount of enthusiasm? Have you allotted the correct estimation of staying power to take a guy from no to yes? Have you trained for the most difficult situations that you will ever face? Most people will say no. This correct estimation of effort will allow you to correctly assess and then prepare for a situation. Train for the most difficult and hope for the easiest. Train for the most difficult customers and prospects in negotiating situations and hope for the easiest. Train hard, close easy. Number five reason, being reasonable can prevent a close. This is a human condition that seems to have perpetuated our entire society over the years, encouraging you to settle, to be happy, to take it easy, to be satisfied, and hey, what's wrong? Let's just do it tomorrow. People have lost the importance of completing tasks and getting things done, closed. Urgency to complete as a daily habit is missing in our society today. The individual only becomes urgent when his survival is threatened. Most of the time, this is too late. The close is just the last step of a cycle of actions involved in selling and presenting and proposing and negotiating. It is no different than how bagging the grass and bringing the grass out to the street after cutting your lawn is the last cycle of mowing a lawn. Until something is completed, look, it's not done. Get unreasonable about that. If I didn't complete it, I didn't finish it. If I didn't close it, it's not done. One of the things I work on in my life is to complete actions started. As I say this, I'm thinking about all the things sitting on my desk right now undone, and that bothers me. I need to go back to my office today and complete each one of those cycles because all those are closes. Look, the more I complete, the more I complete. Right? The more I complete, And the more I complete, the more I can complete new things. The less I complete, finish, close, the less I can complete, which ultimately reduces my desire to start new projects. Salespeople with unclosed deals are punished more than they will ever know. But watch someone become less and less ambitious as more and more deals don't close. Why? All these unclosed cycles. Get in the habit of approaching everything with a sense of completion and an urgency to complete. Never be reasonable with time. This discipline is critical to mounting up sale after sale and one that is understood by the heavy hitters. How do you manage time? Complete every action once started. Do it as fast as you possibly can and then go and do another task. The same with closing deals. Don't put off closing what you can close today. My sister had a friend that wanted to buy my first book for me, and she asked me if I would send a book out and wait for her to write a check. I said, sure, I can do that, or I can call her and get the money, send the book out, and close it now. My sister said, Grant, you can't need $30 that bad. What's so urgent? And I told her, look, it has nothing to do with $30. It has more to do with creating the discipline in my life to urgently attack finishing things, regardless of how small they are, so that I can go on to the next thing. Don't be reasonable on this point of urgency at closing now. Be urgent. Then you're going to hit into like, oh man, am I going to be too insistent? And then they're going to think I'm pressuring them. See, you got to get all these correct. Practice finishing everything you start as a discipline, insisting to start closing the deal now. The urgent desire to close a deal, any deal, no matter the amount, is what I live by. One closed deal becomes a second closed deal. Two closed deal becomes a third one. I get the momentum. I start winning. I become a better husband. I become a better father. I become a better employer. I become better at everything. Be urgent and don't be reasonable ever. Number 6, no financial plan in place that can prevent the close. See, what I mean by that is the salesperson or the presenter operates without a valid financial plan. Therefore, they lack the proper motivation, underestimating the importance of every close to their financial plan. Now, we're not talking about closing here. We're talking about you having a financial plan that would put pressure on you to get the job done. Because the truth is, when you have to get something done, notice it gets done. Here's a fact. If you are just working to make someone else's dreams come true, you will never be a great closer. On the other hand, if you want to make sure your wife can buy anything she wants or your husband can get anything they want, you can become a great closer. You want to make sure you and your family can have everything they've ever wanted and that you can take care of every possible situation that comes your way, you can become a great closer. If you took the time to build a financial plan for yourself that takes care of more than just your bills but will create financial freedom for yourself in the future, you will be a great closer. People greatly underestimate how much money it actually takes to truly ensure their financial freedom and their financial future. People are reasonable, apparently unconscious, and even unwilling to confront this area of financial planning. Many people have a hard time closing because they don't have the correct motivation to do the things that may be uncomfortable in order to get the job done and the deal closed. Look, just paying your bills, the gas bill, the water bill, the house payment, the car payment, the Visa, the MasterCard, whatever, your bill, just getting those paid will never cause you to be a great closer because the purpose is not meaningful enough for you. Who's going to get excited? Oh, I got to close this deal because I want to pay my gas bill. All right? Okay, good. You close it. But what else? Some of the best closers I've ever met were those who didn't do it for profit, but they did it for purpose. They had their purpose correctly aligned. For instance, fundraisers are some of the best closers I have ever met in my life. Why? They're not getting paid. But you see, because they're so aligned with the purpose of their charity, needing money, they insist. They persist. They are motivated. They are staying in the deal. They keep making phone calls. Why? Because the purpose is high. Now, what does this have to do with your financial plan? Your financial purpose, your financial plan and purpose need to be aligned. And you're underestimating the finances needed to make your dreams and your life purposes come true. These fundraisers, these people are master closers, many of them, at getting money from others. Why? Because they're so committed and so dedicated to their purpose, and they have a clear understanding of the true financial needs of that charity. You have to get a proper financial plan put in place in order to have the proper drive the need to get the job done and close. Now, I'm going to be creating a new program just on that. What is the proper financial plan? Most of the people I spoke to, a group of 300 people, 95% by survey did not even understand what a financial plan was. They only understood a budget, not the money they needed to create. Okay, the money you spend is not as important as the money you create. Would you agree? You know, at the age of 25, over 25 years ago, I put a financial plan in place. Prior to that, I didn't even have one. And this financial plan caused me to push harder than others around me. Now, I could go into every deal knowing that that deal, even the smallest deals, contributed to what I called the Grant Cardone Financial Freedom Plan. See, I didn't have the money to fund my plan, my car, my real estate investment. I didn't have that money. I put a plan, built a plan, and said, this is what you would need, Grant, so that you could invest in real estate, so you could invest in the stock market, so you could save money, so you could build a retirement plan, so you could have the cars you wanted. I built that kind of plan, and every time I went into a deal, I looked at others as a participation or a partner in funding my financial freedom plan. Too many people go to work to work. This is even a famous saying, go to work to work. Man, I don't want to go to work to work. I want to go to work to prosper. If I wanted to work hard, I'd go dig a ditch. What about you? Quit going to work to work. Go to work to make your financial plan a reality. Too many people go to work and do so for the next 40 years to later discover they're short on money and long on years. You don't want to be short on money and long on years. You want to be long on money and short on years. That would suggest that most people in the marketplace today are incorrectly estimating the financial needs or never creating a financial plan at all. I was recently on Fox Business News, and I was telling them, look, everybody's underestimating how much money it takes to get by in life. Look at the number of people having financial problems. They're underestimating what it takes to get by. Get a financial plan today and make sure it is going to do more than just pay your bills. But create a financial plan for you and your household that will provide you with security, with, you know, a safety net, with retirement accounts, with all the things you've ever dreamed of, and you will become a better closer. You will start closing more deals, and you will quit underestimating the amount of effort, energy, and enthusiasm it takes to get a deal done. Bottom line is, if you underestimate what it takes to create financial freedom, then it only makes sense that you will underestimate what it takes to close a deal. Number 7, incorrectly handling objections can definitely stop a close. Now, this is a purely technical issue, can easily be handled by someone that is willing to put in the time and effort and practice how to handle all the situations a closer can experience. I have spent years mastering, and yes, I say that humbly, I have mastered the art of handling objections. And I did so because I was completely dedicated and no longer desired to be pushed around or stumped in the close. I got tired of people just giving me excuses and not knowing how to handle them. I got tired of being stumped and not knowing what to do. I got tired of going to management. What do I do? And they don't know either. So many of the other salespeople crossed their fingers and hoped for the best, were unwilling to put in the time to really know the game of handling objections. It is said that whatever you put your attention on, you will get. Do you believe that? If I put my attention on car wreck, I get car wreck. If I put my attention on solutions, I get solutions. See, this book should become your Bible, as it will show you how to handle every objection that I have ever encountered and every objection you will encounter. So we're going to load you up with an arsenal of techniques for handling every stall, objection, problem, complaint. I'm going to load you up. Reason number 8, handling objections that are only complaints is another way to never finish a close. On a similar but very different note, many salespeople, unfortunately, have been taught to handle objections that are not objections, but just merely complaints. Of all the sales books I have ever read, all the programs I have listened to, all the videos I have watched, and all the seminar speakers, sales professionals that I have witnessed, I have never seen this issue distinguished. After years of research, I learned that most so-called objections that you were told to handle are not actually objections at all, but simple complaints that people automatically make through life. Here's a rule for you. You want to write this down. Very, very important. Treat all objections as complaints until further validated. Do not handle an objection as an objection. handle it as a complaint. Most of the time, the closer is handling a complaint that never required more than, I understand. See, when you treat a complaint, hey, grant the payments are too high, or the price is too high, when you handle that complaint like an objection, you then validate it and turn it into more than what it was, a complaint. Just because somebody says the price of the jacket's too high doesn't mean they won't buy the jacket. You're proof of that. How many times have you said something was too much money and then bought it anyway? Was that a complaint or an objection? It was a complaint. Hey, the weather's bad. I understand and I agree with you. Is that a complaint or an objection? Yes, it's a complaint, right? The weather's bad. No different than the price is high. See, the more you validate a complaint and handle it, the more real and the more solid the complaint will appear to everyone. The first thing I do when I hear what appears to be an objection is I treat it like what? A complaint. Until further validated as a real objection. The first rule of selling that I discussed in Sell to Survive will serve you well in determining whether an objection is valid or not. The first rule of selling is always agree. If it is a legitimate objection, you will know soon enough. But trust me, most of what you hear in the close are not objections at all. What are they? They're complaints. Number 9. A lack of closing material will stop the close. Due to a lack of successful closing material and techniques, salespeople are unable to persist in the close. I have personally met hundreds of thousands of salespeople, professional negotiators, transactional people, mediators, real estate agents, people involved in huge negotiations that only have a handful, some none, zero techniques for even closing a deal. Only a very small percentage of these people in my career have more than just a handful of practiced and rehearsed prepared closes. I know thousands of salespeople who, after leaving my seminars and getting on my closing programs, memorizing these killer, incredible, logical, and smart closes, are now able to go out and use these not just in their work, but in real life situations. These individuals watch their confidence zoom, watch the love of their job increase, and their income soar. See, great closers are rare people. Why? Because they don't have the technology. If they have the commitment to learn and add technology to that, they'll be killer closers. The rare ones, the rare great, the professionals, you know, those guys you hear about, they have deep, deep arsenals of closing material that is completely memorized and rehearsed. They are prepared closers. They absolutely understand this material and are able to wield them with ease, even in the heat of battle. Just for clarification, none of the closes in this program are used for the intent of manipulation or deception, but rather are used to help the prospect make a logical decision that allows the winner's exchange. Number 10. An incorrect barrier can make you blinded to the correct reasons you fail to close. If you identify the incorrect barrier, you could blind yourself to the real reason you failed to close a deal. Salespeople wrongly believe their customers are the barrier or reason for the no close, rather than understanding that the closer, in actuality, is the ultimate and only barrier in every close. I'm going to say that again to you. The closer is the ultimate and only barrier to every close. It is never, ever anything else. Now, I know this is a hard one for most to swallow. I was once told, no matter where you go, there you are. Well, this hits me like a ton of bricks as I immediately agreed with it, knowing that the things that are happening to me happen because of me and my beliefs. It's not happening to me. See, so if you could live with this in your life, look, it's happening because of you, not to you. If you're not getting the close, it's because of you, not because of them. When I heard this, I was actually uplifted as it raised my responsibility level and put me at a point where I could take charge of my life because I could take responsibility for the results. It's not them any longer doing something to me. It's me doing something that causes them to do something. At least I can do something about that if it's about me. This brings me to a new saying, nothing happens to you, it happens because of you. I assure you that whatever is happening to you in your life, whatever is happening to you in the close is happening because of you, regardless of how difficult that is to eat. Your actions in life and your beliefs are causing things to happen to you. Whatever objections or situations that are recurring over and over again are happening because of you, because of some agreement you have, or some belief you have, or some mental creation you continue to validate. What you focus on, I think you would agree, you will attract. Things like car wrecks. Think about a car wreck long enough, and you will have a car wreck. Think about the flu long enough, and you will get the flu. Look, the media every year around December, January, starts convincing everybody to get the flu. Think about prices being too high. You know, I guarantee you, everywhere you go, the prices will be too high. If you think you need to think and time's a problem, you will always be out of time and you will always need to think. If you believe you need to shop or you can't make rash decisions, whatever you believe will show up in the clothes. I know it sounds way out there, but just look at your own life. Look at the objections you continue to get in the clothes, and I assure you, you have some basic agreement with them somewhere in your life. This is happening to you because of you. And if you trust me long enough to look at how this might be true, you will find out it is true. For the next week, I want you to write down every objection, also called a complaint, first a complaint. I want you to write down every objection you get, and I want you to see how many of those you do in your own life. Grant, I need to think about it. Guarantee you're doing that in your own life. Grant, the price is too high. Guarantee you, everywhere you go, that's what you believe. We can't afford this right now. Promise you, you do that. Grant, we never make a rash decision. Guarantee you, you have some belief about that in your own life. You will be amazed at the connection between the objections you're getting and the beliefs and ideas and thoughts that you maintain in your own life. Okay, so there's your 10 reasons. You want to really look at those, really study those, and start looking at where you can improve. This book is going to give you a tremendous arsenal, but you got to get your head right around these as well. Okay? Your head right around selling, about the commitment, about the consistency. You got to get your heart into it. The rules. Like any game, particularly in closing, there are rules, and you must abide by these rules to ensure your success. Now, there are 20 major rules that I identify, and they're laid out below, and I'm going to comment on each. These rules should be looked over from time to time, and you should treat them as a firm policy that you will not violate under any condition. Rule number one, always be seated when negotiating and closing. This is a highly violated policy that is missed by every seasoned professional. You will hardly ever close someone while standing up. The saying goes, present the product, service, idea on your feet, always negotiate the terms from your seat. In addition to making sure you're seated when attempting agreement and closure, you want to also have the prospect seated. Even if your prospect stands up in mid-negotiations, remain seated, suggesting you're not done. Do not react by standing up. Stay seated will show confidence of the ability to come to an agreement. Going from a seating position to a standing position suggests somehow that something has changed and will allow your prospect to exit and end the negotiations. Rule number two, always present your proposal in writing. People do not believe what they hear, they believe what they see. That which is written is more credible and more valued than that which is simply spoken. The old saying, talk is cheap, plays out big here. Always have a legal pad available so you can make points on the legal pad separate from the contract. Anything offered as points of value should be included. Anything expected should be written down. Anything taken for granted should be written down because it becomes real to them. Example, if your product or service, for instance, has a warranty that is standard in your offering, you should still write it down as something your buyer gets when they make a decision with you. This is overlooked by 99% of all negotiators in the close as they assume because it's included, it should not be disclosed, and certainly would never be used as a closing point. Why not? It's included as part of your presentation, as part of your package, as part of your overall benefits. Anything of value should be accented, should be written down, should be validated in writing, and should be used to build your case of logic as to the many reasons someone would do business with you and close with you. Hey, if you're a good guy, write it down, you know? If you've been in business 25 years, write it down. Whatever it is you can add value to, the written word is more valuable than the heard word. Rule number 3, always clearly communicate your proposal. It is important that you rehearse and clearly communicate what your offer is, what your benefits are, what your presentation includes. Work it out. Don't mumble. Don't cover your mouth. Speak clearly. Speak confidently so that your offer is communicated in a manner that suggests optimism, pride, and credibility. No one will trust a person who cannot communicate clearly and confidently. Practice your delivery. And do not just assume you're coming over clearly. Maybe video yourself and see it. You know, I practiced using recorders and videos for years and then playing them back to ensure that my communication was coming across in the way that I intended. Rule number 4, always make eye contact. It is very important that you learn to maintain eye contact with your prospect. And in your proposal, avoid wandering eyes. Avoid looking around them. Avoid looking at their shoulders or over their shoulders, directly into their eyes. This is a discipline instilled only through practice, and you can perfect it by videoing yourself and by practicing and rehearsing with others. Most of the population on this planet does not make eye contact today. Just walk down the street, get on an elevator, ask someone a question. Try it today. Try 10 people and 8 of them won't even look you in the eyes. All you have to do to prove it is just walk to the coffee shop. Walk down the street and ask a question, you'll see what I mean, okay? So if I start giving people eye contact, they're going to be like, wow, man, the guy's looking at me. They might not even know consciously that something's different because so many people don't do this. It is vital to be believed that you're making eye contact. It is vital for you to be believed that you make eye contact with your prospect as it suggests interest in them, dedication and commitment to them, and confidence in yourself, your products, your services, and what you are proposing. Learn to make eye contact. Rule number 5, always have a pen available. Closing is great. Except for the closer that finds himself without a pen and a contract, can't really close. See, I remember once I was closing a deal. My prospect agreed. I reached for my pen, which I had misplaced, and the prospect took this as a sign that he shouldn't close and didn't. Can you believe that? I went to reach for my pen. I'm like, oh, man, I don't have my pen. I got to go to another room. He's like, by the time I got back, you know what, Grant, I changed my mind. He actually took this as a reason, like, oh, the pen's not there, so maybe this is the gods telling me I shouldn't close. I was devastated. Devastated. And I said, okay, Grant, new policy. Put a policy in place. I refuse to go anywhere without my sword ever. And my sword is my pen. The only way you can close is with ink and agreement and with action. So get them to sign. That means you need a pen. All agreements. I don't know of any agreement on this planet that doesn't require a signature and won't require ink at some point. Keep a pen available on you at all times. And in fact, you should have a backup pen as well. Also consider getting a nice pen, something that portrays you as a professional. Invest in nice things, and you will have nice things. Rule number 6. Know how to use humor to relieve pressure. Now, this is an absolute art known and practiced by all the greats. Life sometimes reveals itself through stories, and everyone loves a good story. If the story contains humor, it will cause people to relax. Now, be careful that your humor doesn't offend, should not be off color, but rather it should tell or convey a story and it should relieve pressure in the close. That is the purpose of humor. It's not to be funny. Avoid using humor that makes fun of others. Use humor that causes your prospect to feel good, to feel positive, and that reminds them that life is to be enjoyed, not endured. Any humor that can make people feel good, inspired, or hopeful is always appropriate. People are more likely to make decisions when they're less serious than when they become very serious. Would you agree? People are more likely to make a decision when they are less serious than when they become very serious. People pay more for entertainment in this country than they do for an education. Do you understand? Jay Leno will make more money this year to host The Tonight Show than all the teachers combined in the city of Los Angeles. Why is that? Because people want to feel good. Make sure your humor makes your prospect feel good. Keep your close to be more about a game than about a critical decision. about something not so serious as opposed to something terribly serious. Make it more about how they will look good, feel good, and how they're doing the right thing than about it being some serious thing to do. You as a closer will close more deals when you're able to cause your client to lighten up, to laugh, to have fun, and to be less serious. I have used humor my entire selling career to take the edge off. And combine that with the right techniques on how to finish to close, you will become unstoppable. Rule number 7. Always ask one more time. This is a perpetuating rule, because one more time is always one more time. This is what separates the closers from the sellers and the big money from the average. To continue to ask, to continue to persist, to figure out another way to circle back after being told no, to figure out how to reposition your negotiations and ask one more time, always one more time, is ultimately what will make you a great closer. This requires you have a deep, very deep arsenal of techniques and a total and complete understanding of all the closes in a variety of orders so that you can continue to persist. The only way to wear out resistance is through persistence. And this requires that you know the information in this program and you know it so well that you can weave all the closes back and forth. You can route back and go back and grab another one. You don't rely on one or two, but you have hundreds to use to finally get the buyer or your prospect to say yes. This area of persistence is also a social issue, as you were told again as a child that persistence was actually a bad thing. That it was rude, obnoxious, that you're not listening, that you don't ask me again. How many times were you told that? You're stubborn. All these negative connotations connected with being persistent. Look, stubborn is a good thing. Asking again and again and again is the sign of someone that knows how to get what they want in life. It is not rude to continue to persist as your parents may have told you as a child, but rather it is the sign of success and prosperity. It is the sign of someone that is committed and dedicated to what they want. Because I continue to ask in another way for a yes after being told no does not mean I did not listen. It only means I am more sold on my view than the others are sold on their view. Vince Lombardi, the great coach, said, "Winners never quit, and quitters never win." Who wants to say yes to a quitter? No one will. And how can they? How can they say yes to you when you quit? To persist and ask another way, to persist, to route back and use another close, means you must be completely sold. That you must have complete, utter confidence in yourself and your product, and that you must be absolutely clear about what you want and how important it is to your survival and your prospect's survival. You should treat every opportunity to close like your life depends on it. See, because if your life depended on it, you'd ask again. You wouldn't care how you looked. Quitting is a discipline that is encouraged in our society today, and persistence is actually discouraged. There is an oversupply of quitters on this planet and a shortage of persisters. Which one is more valuable? If quitting is a discipline, then not quitting is also a discipline, and it can be learned. Practice not quitting. Role play using the closes in this program where you try one more time with one more close even after they've said they're done and you've tried 10 different ways. See how strong you can continue to persist. See how strong you can get this persistence muscle. And like any muscle, it will get stronger, it will get faster, and it will serve you better. Drill this persistence until you are no longer being obnoxious or rude or ill-mannered, but professionally persistent. See, the fact that you persist right now and you appear rude or obnoxious is because you're not trained. Train it until you become smooth at it. Once a man told me after hours in the negotiation, "It feels like you're starting to pressure me, Grant, and I don't like that." And I said to him, "Please don't confuse my persistence and my enthusiasm and my dedication to my company and my product and the fact that I know this is the right thing for you. Please don't confuse that with pressure." He laughed, and then he closed. Rule number 8. Always have available an arsenal of closes so you don't repeat yourself. That's what this program's going to give you, hundreds of closes. Now, you got to practice them so you don't get reliant on 2 or 3 or 4 or 5 of them. Most salespeople, most presenters, negotiators and proposals, you know, professional proposals fail because the individual presenting quit because they lacked a variation or an arsenal which this program will give you. You need a large, very large, a wide range or variety of situations to handle different customer types and different objections. Remember, correct estimation of effort? It is said that most prospects close after 5 attempts, but the average salesperson or presenter only has 4 closes available. See, I don't want 4 or 5. Look, I want hundreds. I want to be able to lift 300 or 400 pounds. So 30 will feel like a piece of cake. You get it? I want to have hundreds of closes, so if they resist 4 or 5 times, it's nothing. I want